This is Bronco Tuesday, taking a look at Boise State Athletics with coaches and players. Now here's Bob Beeler, Chris Walton, and Paul Jay on the home of the Broncos, 670 KBOI.
Well, if you find Bob Beeler, tell him we miss him. Paul Jay and Chris, along with Sean Garris, BSU volleyball coach. Bob is in transit from Eugene, Oregon, back here so he can be back in time for the show. Meanwhile, volleyball marches on. It's pretty impressive stuff. We knew last time we talked to you that you were going to the NCAA tournament. You found out Sunday night who you would play against. And the first thing I noticed was that they were 30-2 Western Kentucky.
Yeah, it's a tough draw, but I'm excited for the opportunity to go to NCAAs. I like taking the team down to Stanford. Stanford's one of the historical great programs in the NCAA for volleyball. So I think it'll be a great experience for our players, and it was certainly fun to watch our name come up on the bracket on Sunday night.
Yeah, there's nothing quite like that. And you see you come up against Western Kentucky Friday, 7:30. And that followed a senior night win over Air Force in which you honored one senior.
Yeah, that was fun. We had Bronco Gym sold out for a match against Air Force, which Air Force didn't bring in the crowd. The level of our program and maybe the respect for what Maddie O'Donnell has done for her career got us some extra fans. So that was really cool to see Bronco Gym sold out for our last two home games. And getting a chance to honor Maddie O'Donnell with Maddie O'Donnell Night. We actually call it Maddie O'Donnell Week because that was our only match for that week. It was really special, and she played great again. And yeah, we're definitely going to miss her. But as I told her and the team yesterday when we had our practice to get ready for Western Kentucky, I said, this is the first time Boise State volleyball has played a match in December, and let's make sure we go there and play our best.
Coach, your team is on a 14-match winning streak, which seems pretty incredible. And then you look at Western Kentucky, they're on a 21-match winning streak. How good do you think Conference USA is? Have you looked at them?
Yeah, a little bit. I've been looking at Western Kentucky stats and watching some video of late. And I think that Conference USA has a couple good teams, but they are one bid league. So I think it's Western Kentucky and then everybody else. But Western Kentucky, I think, has known for the last couple of years that they're going to run the table in Conference USA. So their preseason is beefed up a lot. Mm-hmm. And that's why they've got such a good RPI, because they had preseason results that I think their record is still standing tall on. Like, they beat Pitt at Pitt. They lost in five to Michigan State. They had a win over Cincinnati, who's a tournament team. So, like, they played some good teams, and they're an experienced group. They've been in NCAA six of the last 7 years. Last year, they won in the first round over Arizona. So, you know, they know what they're doing. They're going to be good. But I like the opportunity of two conference champions playing each other with a chance to advance to play Stanford. That's exciting.
That's kind of what NCAA sports is all about, right? You win your conference, you go to the NCAAs and play another conference champ.
Sometimes it seems simple like that, doesn't it?
But always.
The committee has a tough job to try to seed 16 teams around the country, and then they regionalize things. And Western Kentucky is certainly not out west, but I think that's a good matchup to send west, because they get to face a team like Boise State, who won the Mountain West. And then if they can advance, or whoever advances, you get Stanford, which is the top, I would say maybe the top one or two teams in the Pac-12.
You were saying the other day that in the NCAA tournament, things move pretty fast.
Yeah, that's true. We've got to get ready in a hurry. So, like, we just found out Sunday night where we're going, and then with the help of administration, specifically Bob Carney, he kind of helps with the championships for the Boise State teams. He's been trying to help us get organized with our airfare and our bus travel and hotels, and it all does move really quick. I'm trying to scout the other team at the same time. So one of my assistants is scouting, the other one's doing travel arrangements, and I'm answering questions for players and parents and people that just want to know what's next.
And for us, yeah.
glad for us.
All right, we'll take a break. KBOI News Time, 844.
Now, back to Bronco Tuesday with Chris, Paul, and Bob on 670 KBOI.
KBOY News Time is 8:46, and our guest is Boise State volleyball coach Sean Garris. Good news, the All-Mountain West team has come out, and you got a player of the year.
Yeah, that's really special. Sierra has been working her way towards that her whole career. Freshman year, she was honored with the Freshman of the Year for the conference. Last year, she was All-Conference. Before the season, she was named the Preseason Player of the Year, and she didn't disappoint. She was the Player of the Year. And I feel like after the first couple weeks of the season, or of the conference season, she started to get healthy. She had a nagging abdominal strain. Once she got healthy, she was fantastic. And, you know, even though every team is going to gear up to try to slow her down, nobody could, and it's a well-deserved honor.
Yeah, it is a well-deserved honor, and she was also the final player of the week.
Yeah.
For the third time this year, she's been player of the week. And overall, six players on the All-Mountain West team.
Yeah, it's fantastic to see the team recognized at that level. I think we just had a tremendous season and a lot of depth. And I think we had two candidates that were good enough to be considered player of the year level. Maddie O'Donnell also had a tremendous senior season and led her statistical category. So really proud of all the girls, and it's cool to see that the coaches around the conference recognize what we're doing. It's pretty special.
We also congratulate you for the second year in a row, Coach of the Year.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I really do. But I also have to thank the staff and everybody that goes into trying to help the team be successful. So my first assistant, Candy Murphy, has been with me ever since I arrived here in Boise, and she does a terrific job of getting the team ready to play matches. And Allison Buck is our newest assistant, and she's running around like crazy right now trying to get us ready for NCAAs. But I really do compliment everything that the staff does to help us get that type of award.
And it's kind of nice to look at the polls, the rankings, and see Boise State, you know, ranked here and there and receiving points here and there. That's pretty nice to see.
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised yesterday when I saw the top 25 came out, and we're just three spots out of the 25th spot and received, I think, 20 votes this week. And that means a lot of people are taking notice that Boise State's got something going on. And it all started last year. Their success has carried over, and the notoriety is there now. It's really good to see.
It slipped my mind. Where were you picked in preseason?
Second.
Behind
Second,
Colorado
right behind
State.
Colorado State, yeah.
And next year, we're only losing one player. You know, you'll have the target on your back probably.
Yeah, Colorado State's going to be really good as well. They also only had one senior, and they won the Freshman of the Year award and the Newcomer of the Year. So I think we're the top two programs right now, and that's quite a statement considering where Colorado State has been for their history of their program.
Following the NCAA tournament, what's the schedule for most of your players? Do you start practicing again?
Yeah, so we played our last conference match on Tuesday night against Air Force, and then we gave them – the 4 days off for the holidays. So a lot of kids went home and spent time with their family over Thanksgiving, where they all needed to be back on Sunday so that we could watch the selection show. And we did that up in the Sickle Sky Center, had some of our donors and, you know, family and friends there to watch. And it was really fun for the girls to see their name come up. And then we got back to work on Monday. So yesterday they lifted in the morning and practiced in the afternoon. They did the same thing. They'll do the same thing today. And a short practice tomorrow, and then we hit the road tomorrow night to fly down to the Bay Area, and we have a practice on the game floor on Thursday to get ready for the match on Friday. And the match is at 4:30 Pacific time, so 5:30 our time, 7:30 on the East Coast. So you can see it on NCAA.com if you're not able to go to attend the match at Stanford. The match will be available. NCAA.com has an interactive bracket you can click on and see all the matches played video streaming.
Well, that's pretty cool. I clicked on that and got lost.
Yeah, you have to select volleyball, NCAA.com, and then select volleyball, and then you'll find an interactive bracket. And they do a really nice job covering the first two rounds, and the next two rounds will be on TV. But it is tough to get airtime this time of year with basketball in full swing and football going into the rivalry weekends and the bowl games and everything. So we'll be video streamed for the next two matches.
All right, we're talking with volleyball coach Sean Garris. We'll be back. It's 8:50.
KBOI.
KBOI News Time, 8:52. It's a Bronco Tuesday. Volleyball coach Sean Garris joins us. We're holding him over today because Bob Beeler's on the way back. Being in the tournament, how much of a boost will that be, do you think, for recruiting?
I hope it'll be a nice boost. Winning the conference outright, I think, is a good statement. Seeing the conference get three teams in to the NCAAs, I think, gives it a little bit more notoriety. And that's what's really important when you're out there talking to club coaches. They want to send kids to the best program that they perceive. So being in NCAAs kind of validates the success that we have, and getting three teams in makes it look like you're getting good volleyball week in and week out in our conference.
Your area of recruiting, Western part, Intermountain, what do you recruit?
Yeah, I say we've really focused on Colorado and West. That's where we can get to easily. That's where kids can come visit us. And them visiting us is really important because we're usually recruiting sophomores, and they've got to come to campus on their own dime until they're a senior in high school. So they're usually committed far before we can offer them the official visit and things, or verbally committed before we can offer them the official visit. So yeah, we tend to look at the Western states, and California is full of talent, no doubt about it. But we try to find athletes, and athletes are anywhere. So we've got a kid coming next year from Burns, Oregon. We've got an all-conference player from Helena, Montana. I think we'll keep looking for the right athlete that fits what we want to do for the future. And it's been working well for us so far. We put a lot of faith in our ability to train players that might be a little bit underdeveloped, but if they're the right athlete, we think we can get them there.
All your players on the roster are from the West, with the exception of those from Iowa.
Yeah, which I saw in Colorado. So I went to a tournament in Colorado. They came west to that tournament. I traveled east to recruit and found those two. And it's been really good. Those two sisters are just really special kids. And I know they're enjoying the heck out of their time in Boise and excited with all the travel and, the new places that we've been able to expose to them. And they both work really hard. I think they'll be a big part of what we do in the future.
Now, they're twins, right? But yeah. One of them's like 6 inches taller than the other one?
Yeah, the setter is is probably 5'8", and her little sister's about 5'2". And the little one is the third Maddie on our team, so she gets the mini-Mad nickname, mini-Maddie nickname, because we have big Mads, little Mads, and mini-Mads. So, yeah, good kids. They work hard and, proud of everything that they're all doing.
So now, you're losing one player.
Yeah.
So how many what do you recruit? You only have one open spot, or do you have more?
We have a couple open spots. We signed two kids last month, one outside hitter from the Seattle area and one from Burns, Oregon. And they'll both come in and compete right away for playing time. They're very athletic kids, 6 foot and 6'2", so more size, which I think is important to compete at the top of our conference. And then we'll go out and look for another player this offseason, maybe a middle blocker, because that's what Matty O'Donnell plays, and that's the one we graduate. But we usually don't look to replace a kid when they're a senior. We try to get some people in behind them. So, we have some good depth on the roster at all the positions, but you got to keep going. Recruiting is nonstop.
Yeah. All right, Boise State against the Western Kentucky Lady Toppers, and that'll be at 5:30.
5:30 local time.
5:30 yeah. Boise time. Yes. On Friday from Maples Pavilion on the campus of Stanford University.
Yep.
Good luck in that game.
Hey, thank you guys for having me in and promoting the program. Go Broncos.
Congratulations. Go Broncos. On a historic season.
Thank you very much.
Very nice. All right, that's Sean Garris, head volleyball coach of Boise State. Once again, Boise State Broncos lost a heartbreaker last night at Oregon. Next game tomorrow night at home against Southern Methodist. That's probably the best non-conference home game of the year. So watch that one.
That'll be tough, too.
Idaho Talks Live after the news.
If you're talking about it,
it's always about the money. Everything else is just conversation.
We're talking about it.
No excuses. Just find a way to get it done.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
All right, we are back. A couple of interesting things. Let's take a minute or so and kind of defrag the thing on the Ohio State University campus from yesterday, which we had a report of an active shooter. We had a report that that shooter was shot and killed. We also had a report, although they never said shot, we had a report, because I look back at all of the stuff, never said shot. They just said 7 people or 8 people injured, 1 critically.
Right.
And they were hit by a car.
And everybody was pretty much reporting the same thing. That's all we were getting out of Columbus.
Right.
Was that there were 8 people injured, 1 critically, and there was an active shooter on campus. Turned out he was not a shooter. He had assaulted people with an automobile, jumped out, and started stabbing people with a butcher knife.
Right.
And then a policeman was there within 2 minutes and shot him dead. So when they heard shots, that was actually the end of the incident.
Yeah, because when I first heard that, I'm going, everybody that was interviewed said they heard shots.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, they did when they were shooting the perpetrator.
Exactly.
Yeah.
State lawmakers now in Ohio say, and they're already moving ahead with this, they've proposed legislation to loosen the rules for carrying concealed handguns on campus. And this is one of those situations where they say, okay, in a situation exactly like this, handguns would come in handy on campus. because, I mean, obviously the policeman had one, and it ended really without anybody being killed except the perpetrator.
Yeah, a lot of people think there's too big a chance for mistakes if too many people have guns. In other words, if I had a gun and you had a gun, and I saw this guy with a butcher knife, and I shot this guy with a butcher knife who was swinging it at people, you come around the corner, see me standing there with a gun, see people laying on the ground, you might shoot me.
Well, yeah, very possibly, because I might just be arriving on the scene and thinking, okay, I just saw a murder.
Yeah, and things like that can happen, but...
But again, you know, I
again,
mean,
the fact that there the policeman... Any... Well, most police are armed.
Yeah. Well, of course, but there isn't anybody in that immediate area that wasn't happy that guy had a gun.
No question.
I mean, by that guy, I mean the policeman.
Yeah, exactly. And once again, this guy was a Somali... national, but he was a U.S. citizen, right? Or was he? I know he was not. He was in the country legally, but he was not a citizen.
Right.
And
he was,
have you seen
however,
the graduation
was,
thing?
He was
of
a
him?
Student at Ohio State. He was just a freshman.
You've seen his high school graduation pictures where he's turning the somersault and, you know, looking like Jackie Wilson, doing the splits and all that stuff. Make him look like the most. The nicest, most engaging guy on the face of the earth.
Yeah, which at least yesterday he wasn't.
He was not. So.
The Ohio...
And a lot of people are going to jump on that coverage and say, why are you sympathetic to this guy who tried to kill a bunch of people?
Well, and you know, I kind of agree with that. You know, whenever somebody murders a bunch of people or attempts to murder a bunch of people, and then suddenly you look into his background and talk about what a wonderful person he is, that's a little weird. We don't need to know what he used to do. The important thing we need to know is, you know, what's he doing right now and with whom is he affiliated, if any?
Yeah, and well, we were talking yesterday about, he tweeted out something, I'm paraphrasing now because I don't have the Twitter in front of me. He tweeted out basically, people are killing Muslims, I can't take it anymore.
Okay, but it's Muslims.
So he,
They're killing their own people. I mean, it's the radical ones. It's ISIS, but they are killing most of the people they kill are Muslims, and it's in the Middle East.
So his solution to people killing Muslims is to go kill innocent people, some of whom I suppose could have been Muslims. Yeah, I mean, he didn't discriminate. He plowed into a bunch of people
exactly.
who were standing on the sidewalk because a fire alarm went off.
Now he says, okay, the Muslims are being treated incorrectly, and so he's going to retaliate and do something which will guarantee that they won't be treated the way he wants them to be treated.
Yeah, that more Muslims will be treated.
And that more people will say, okay, this is happening too often. Get them out of the country.
Yeah. So the reasoning is convoluted, in my humble opinion, and it's just my opinion.
Well,
but it seems to me that
I don't think there's any reasoning that isn't convoluted that would have you run into a crowd of people.
Yeah,
on
that
purpose.
You don't know anything about.
Yeah,
to make a political statement of some kind, probably knowing you're going to get killed.
What the Ohio Senate will be voting on probably as soon as tomorrow. Is called House Bill 48, Ohio House Bill 48, and it would allow colleges and universities in the state to decide for themselves whether to allow concealed handguns on school property. So there wouldn't be necessarily a state law about it. Colleges and universities would be given legal immunity in cases involving people carrying concealed firearms on campus unless school officials acted maliciously. I wonder what qualifies as maliciously from school officials.
There's that. Nebulous thing. That's one of the reasons I don't want everybody to have a gun. Well, they can have guns if they want, but are all the shootings in road rage now?
Now,
I mean, you got to be careful. If you accidentally cut somebody off, could be a death sentence for you.
Well, it always has been.
Because they follow you down and kill you.
It always has been that case. I mean, in America, you can have a gun if you want one.
Sure.
And I would think that would make people very polite to each other.
Yeah. I was driving with a newspaper guy who flipped off a guy driving a big rig, right? Okay. We went by him. He was sitting in the back seat. I was driving.
Yeah.
So we passed a guy, and the guy, I don't know why, I can't remember anymore why he flipped off, but he flipped him off, okay?
Okay, something was irritating.
Something that's, irritated
That's basically called,
him.
That's called driving.
Yeah, and he, well, but he wasn't driving. He was sitting in a back seat for some reason.
Traveling.
Yeah, he was traveling, and I was driving. So for some reason, he flipped off a truck driver as we passed him. We get in the right lane, and anybody who's out there who's ever had a similar situation knows what's going to happen next. What happens next is a truck in the lane in front of me starts slowing down. And then in the left lane where I would go to pass this truck, another truck comes up.
Yeah.
So I have a truck in front of me, a truck beside me, and a truck behind me.
And you don't have a CB.
No, and they do. And, you know, they keep slowing down, and we're doing like 20 miles an hour, and I'm going. So I pulled over to the side of the road, and they grabbed this guy out of the back seat and pulled him out and didn't hit him, didn't do anything else, but scared the out of everybody.
I'm glad that was enough for them.
And it was the last time he ever did that.
Well, I mean, mental note to everybody at that point, okay, do not show a single finger to a trucker.
No. And this guy was a widely noted columnist, et cetera, et cetera. And I never saw it mentioned in any of his columns. Oddly enough.
Kind of can't blame him for that.
Yeah. KBOI News Time, 9:15.
Remember, you are listening to Paul, Jay, and Chris on 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time, 9:22. KBOI Rewards Code for today, Mustang, MUSTANG. Mustang, as in Southern Methodist University Mustangs, who play Boise State tomorrow night. And, coincidentally, we have one pair of tickets to the BSU-SMU basketball game tomorrow night at Taco Bell Arena. Give us a call right now at 336-3711, 336-3711. Caller number 5 wins 2 tickets to BSU-SMU tomorrow night.
And this is possibly the toughest home opponent we're going to have this year. You mentioned that earlier.
Non-conference.
At least non-conference, right, exactly.
Toughest non-conference home opponent, no question. SMU, a top 25 team last year, and you know, Coach Brown is gone, but a lot of those players remain. So that's the interesting thing about that.
And they're a good program.
Caller number 5 at 336-3711 will be the winner. All right. Donald Trump. Although the Supreme Court has declared flag burning to be constitutionally protected from free speech, Donald Trump said this morning he wants to make the practice illegal. And he said it with this quote: "Nobody should be allowed to burn the American flag. If they do, there must be consequences, perhaps loss of citizenship or a year in jail." It's not known what inspired Trump's condemnation of flag burning, or whether he will call on Congress to attempt a new law banning it. And I'm looking at his tweet. What do you think of this?
Well, I think, like a lot of people, I'm kind of two minds. One is that I do like the freedom we have here in America, you know, that we have the freedom to protest about things. We have the freedom to badmouth something if we don't like it. We have all sorts of freedoms. I also am a big fan of respect, as in, you know, respect for your elders, respect for your institutions, respect for the flag and the symbols of the United States of America, of which, you know, that's obviously one of the most important, maybe the most important.
Yeah.
Well, the Constitution, probably the most important, but also the flag is.
But can you cherry pick First Amendment rights?
No,
I don't think you can do that.
You can't. And when you start telling people, okay, you can't do this, you can't do that, simply because I don't like it, or because it's really, really, really impolite or disrespectful,
I think burning the flag is one of the most disrespectful things you can do.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm in favor of protesting things that you are against. But I do have a problem with flag burning. I mean, with the exception of that, that's how you get rid of a flag that's worn out. is you have kind of a flag burning ceremony. But that's not a protest move, and you don't do it in the middle of the street.
Right.
But I don't like the disrespect, but I don't know that you can legislate respect. I mean, respect is something I think people either have or they don't. They're either polite or they're not. They either respect institutions and symbols or they don't. And in a lot of cases, they simply don't.
Yeah. The Supreme Court has upheld flag burning. Trump, though, will have at least one appointment to the Supreme Court. And there's always a chance to alter the ideological direction, although I can't imagine that a justice of the Supreme Court would say that
something isn't your constitutional right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's already been determined.
Congratulations, by the way, to Rick Bagley for winning our tickets.
But again, I mean, burning a flag is not something that I would ever think of doing.
No.
It means too much to me. It means too much to too many people in this country, you know, a lot of whom have fought for the right to raise the flag.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you're not going to catch me doing something like that. But there again, there are a lot of things that people are allowed to do in this country that I don't like. But
live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI. This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 10, listen to Rush on 670 KBOI.
We're back. KBOI News Time, 9:36. Paul, Jane, Chris, let's get to Jim, who's been on the line for a long time. Jim, good morning.
Morning. Well, I'm against burning the flag, the
no
U.S.
question.
Flag. It insults the people that fought and died for the flag. But I am also against burning any flag. Any flag represents any country on earth, and in every country on earth, there are good people in that country. I remember 1990 when Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait. There were a group of people in this town, Boise, that
really?
Were burning an Iraqi flag, and I was against that.
Yeah, that happened in a lot of cities.
So, I think if you burn a flag, you're an ass. Now.
Agreed.
Now, okay, you have the flag, and you have the design. There needs to, I guess, be a separation between what a flag is and the United States of America design of a flag.
Yeah, because there are shirts and blankets and
right.
Things with stars and stripes.
If you drew a picture of the American flag on a piece of paper and then burned that piece of paper, would that have the same impact?
I don't think so. I mean, you know,
it's not the object.
I don't know. Maybe it's a thin line, but how do you ban everything like that? You can't ban everything like that.
Didn't they? I don't know if they were banned or not, but they used to not make shirts with, like, stars and stripes on them.
Well,
and now you can't get near the 4th of July without seeing a million of them
Congress,
in the stores.
Congress puts out, or has put out in the past, a list of what are called rules of etiquette when it comes to displaying the flag, like not flying it in the rain. You know, if it's flying at night, it has to be lighted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and... Yeah, I think lit means on fire, right?
It does. I realized that and changed it immediately.
I get those backwards. But anyway, also, you're not really supposed to have a flag design on your clothing, even though, I mean, you know, I had 100 shirts from Old Navy, you know, about 1990 or so, that had the flag on them.
Well, my wife has these really cool shirts with flags on them. Go ahead, Jim.
I'll tell you an interesting story. Just last week, you know how on car dealerships, you know, to sell cars, you know, it's always good to be patriotic.
Sure.
You see U.S. flags all over the place. And I call them U.S. flag because there's no such thing as an American flag unless North America, South America has a flag.
Yeah.
Anyway, U.S. flags. So I'm riding my bicycle by a dealership, and on all the cars are these little window flags, you know, one of which is upside down.
Uh-oh, danger.
So I go inside, and I mention, the owner is talking to this guy, and the other guy says, well, that car is distressed. Well, anyway, the guy comes out, he looks at it, and then as I'm riding away, he just says that, you know, it's done that with the factory. But, see, that's the thing. How many people in this patriotic town mentioned it to him before me?
Good question.
Probably none.
Probably.
Yeah.
They just overlooked it. So anyway, take care of y'all.
All right, thanks,
sir. H.G. McCall says you can't legislate respect, but you can teach it. People who do things like burn the U.S. flag or start riots don't look respectful to me, although I'm sure they are proud of themselves. Seems to me they don't have much self-respect. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. What it means to me is, yeah, exactly, sock it to me, sock it to me. First, I must respect myself and my country, even if I don't agree with some of what the government does. Maybe making America great again means bringing back the respect many have lost.
Yeah. You remember back in the, I think it started, the movement, burning flags, started in San Francisco. And you remember Rick Monday scooped that flag up?
Yeah, Rick Monday was the Cubs center fielder at the time.
In Wrigley Field. And
some people had gone out on the field during the game, walked right out into the middle of the outfield, and they sat down with a flag and started flicking their lighter to try to light the flag. And before they could, Rick Monday sneaked up behind them, grabbed the flag, and ran to the dugout with it. And people just cheered.
Yeah, he was a national hero.
Yeah, he was a hero for a long time.
And that's a good thing.
Now, Boise Rabble Rouser says if Mr. Trump wastes...
Even though he stole the flag.
Well, technically. Yeah. If Mr. Trump wastes political capital on banning flag burning, he must not be aware the Supreme Court has ruled twice that it is constitutionally protected under the First Amendment.
That's correct.
With his I am all powerful attitude, Mr. Trump is showing signs of suffering from borderline personality disorder enhanced by narcissism. Yes, elections have consequences.
Yeah, Justice Kennedy in 1989, it's poignant but fundamental that the flag protects those who hold it in contempt, which is true, and it is protected.
Yeah. Oh, and Anonymous from Anywhere, that's what he wrote, says designs on shirts of the U.S. flag are not real flags. I'm anonymous because once I decided to cut a small U.S. flag and sew it on a T-shirt. Now I don't know if I did something wrong or not. Now, what I was going to say about these rules put out by Congress is they are not laws. They are rules of respect. They are rules of etiquette. But they are not the law of the land. It's just something that if you intend to show respect for the flag, they give you ideas about how to do it. And I think the other one I was going to mention was if you have advertising. They say don't use the U.S. flag in advertising, even if it's a 4th of July sale or your company logo, because that's also a sign of disrespect. Now, a lot of people don't know that, and a lot of people think if you wear a U.S. flag, that's the on your shirt, that would be the greatest thing you can possibly do.
Nope.
But, it's hard for people to judge your intentions. Assuming they're going to anyway. Yeah. And quickly here, Josh of Meridian says burning the flag should mean you denounce your citizenship. I think renounce is what he meant. And that's another one where he simply believes that if you have gotten to the point where you're going to burn the flag of the United States, then he doesn't feel that you have citizenship any longer.
George Takei, he's the Star Wars guy, right?
Star Trek.
Star Trek guy. He tweeted, pledged allegiance to the flag every morning inside an internment camp. That's, they rounded up all of the Japanese Americans.
Fairly well known for that. His family was in an internment camp during World War II.
Yeah, he says, I would never burn one, but I'd die to protect the right to do so.
And let's see, Dave of Boise says, Collister Church disrespects the flag all the time. They have no idea what the protocol is. And a lot of people don't. There are people who simply fly the flag, and if it starts to rain, they forget to go get it.
So is that disrespect?
Well, it can be. If you're doing it on purpose, I think it's disrespect. If you're not doing it on purpose, I think maybe it's carelessness. And you should, if you're going to fly a flag, you probably should have some idea of what the protocol is. But he goes on, I hope Trump makes it so they and others can be fined. I see it all the time, and it truly disgusts me, and they are supposed to be a church. Well, and again, chances are the person who puts up the flag really doesn't completely know the rules. Or, maybe they just don't want to follow them. You don't know.
Yeah. All right, it's 9:45. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more phone calls. KBOI News Time 9:49. Let's go to the phone. And Gary of Emmett. Gary, good morning.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, Gary.
They say that American flags inflame so many passions that several times in the news it's been told that students in California high schools with patriotic displays on their T-shirts were asked to either turn the shirts inside out, go home, and not wear those because they would incite and inflame passions among minority students at high school.
Yeah, I don't agree with that at all because we are in America here.
Right, and also, you know, they said it was too disruptive to have that flag at that Massachusetts little liberal arts college, you know, where they banned the flags and they had the big demonstration. Well, if the flag has that much of a way of inflaming passions, why not make a law that if you burn a flag, that is inciting to riot?
Hmm.
You see, it's not banning any speech because of the First Amendment, but if it does stir up so much passion, why not call that, anybody that does it publicly, as inciting to riot? And then there are laws and means to deal with them.
And that's the charge is a little bit vague, and I think that's on purpose.
Right.
It's an interesting take. You know how you feel when you see foreigners, like somebody in a foreign country, you know, like, you know, ISIS or whatever, you know, gets together and burns a bunch of American flags and are running around and flipping the bird and, you know, saying how much they hate America and all. You know, that makes you feel.
Sure.
Well, you know, the interesting thing about that is when I ever see those photos.
Yeah. Hello. Hang on. Okay, you there?
Yes. Say when I see those pictures, I look at the backgrounds that they're standing in, the way the streets look and the way the infrastructure looks and the way the people look, and I go,
see if they're really there.
No, it's more like, okay, you guys don't like.
Stop hanging up on my phone. Okay, go ahead again.
Sorry.
Kevin, who doesn't like you, who keeps hanging up on you.
I said, I see the way that they live, and I look at them, and I say, you see, you don't like us, but I see the way you live.
Yeah. Yeah, good luck with that.
All right.
Yeah. You know, because you see what kind of hell holes they're living in when they're burning our flags.
Yeah. Good stuff. Thanks, Gary.
What I don't like are once in a while you see one of those demonstrations and you find out that the cameraman gave him the flag.
Yeah, yeah. Air burn this.
Just to get some, you know, some really good shots.
Yeah. Joe Mountain Home, you're on 670 KBOI. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. I just wanted to make sure that you guys put on, too, that as a formal ceremony, the American Legion takes and burns the flag, but it's called flag retirement.
Right.
And that's when a flag is no longer, it's ripped, torn, discolored, and stuff like that. So just make sure that nobody gets confused with that also.
You know, we talked about that earlier. Thanks for the call.
I appreciate that. And I mentioned that Congress, you know, puts out the rules about how to display the flag and how to show flag etiquette. But if you can also find out from the American Legion. I mean, the American Legion, they're very, very big on knowing what to do with the American flag. And you're absolutely right. The way that you are supposed to dispose of an old worn-out flag, you know, is not to just toss it in a trunk or something. You are supposed to burn it, but you do it ceremoniously. And the Boy Scouts do that as well.
Yeah. So, yeah, we did remind them. Okay, so... Interesting. Even the most conservative Supreme Courts have voted to say that flag burning is protected by the First Amendment.
And again, I mean, inciting to riot is not protected. Protest is, but starting a riot is not. And maybe, you know... starting a fire in the public square, there might be local rules about that sort of thing, too.
Yeah.
But as far as just burning the flag in protest, you know, they have ruled the Constitution says you can do that.
Yeah.
Helena McCall wanted to comment about our previous subject, talking about guns on campus, things like that. She says, I think the problem is not that anyone can have a gun, but basic civility and good manners has been lost in this country. It's been coming around for a long time. Seems nowadays you should be able to break any rule. Doesn't matter who you sleep with, who or where you get violently mad, what you take from your employer, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. If people had a base of good civility and they were taught what a proper response to anger is, we would be better for it. Remember when all of us, for the most part, dutifully drove 55 miles per hour across the U.S. Imagine if you tried to reinstate that law now, even though so many complain about the cost of gas, the availability of gas. I met a man who was proud. He was an aggressive driver. Remember when we were taught about defensive driving? How about being a smart driver? What happened to putting yourself in the other's shoes? Give the benefit of the doubt when someone cuts you off. Ignore the driver who passes on the double yellow line and drive to protect yourself from the idiot things drivers who think they own the road do. What happened to civility and good manners? Well said.
I'm not sure everybody is angry, like she seems to indicate. It's just the angry ones we hear about.
Yeah.
We don't hear about the civil ones. Principal conservative justices like Scalia and Kennedy both joined 5-4 majority, holding the First Amendment protects those who burn the flag. So, interesting.
Okay, you have the right to do it, but
don't.
How's that?
9:55, something to think about with Mike Rogers coming up next, brought to you by Boise Church of Christ, where church is family. We'll see you tomorrow.
Now, something to think about with Mike Rogers.
The Chief Executive Magazine once again names California the worst place to do business in the United States for 2016. It's a badge of honor they've held for a couple of years. Congratulations, California. One business leader said California currently produces our highest unit costs of any state in the country. All that tax and regulation is expensive, after all. And it's not getting any better. Another business leader said California has been running business out of the state for years, and in fact, their policies are getting worse. So why do those of us who don't live there care? Well, those populous and heavy tax and regulation states like California, Illinois, and New York would love to do away with Electoral College, the body that is based on protecting the country from the rule from just a few states across the country. They claim how unfair it is. Why shouldn't the rest of us suffer under heavy tax and regulation like they do, after all? Something to think about. I'm Mike Rogers.